And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I mean, like this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. I am sitting in studio with the illustrious Butters, who has already joined us live and in person. Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
You're welcome here all days of the week.
Well,
even Saturday and Sunday when we're not here, you come hang out. You're fine.
I heard free cup of coffee and I was down. So,
but we have no maple bacon donuts today.
That's all right.
We may rectify that soon.
I'm still getting over the cake you got me.
Oh, so. Wow. And then, the lovely Charlene took care of that. Yeah. And then on the phone with us, our friend par excellence, the lovely Lee from Huntsville. How are you?
I am great.
Well, good. Have you ever had an introduction like that before?
No, not quite. That was wonderful.
All right. We're going to do a segment right now we like to call Butters and Lee. All right, to all y'all out there that don't know the rules, here's the deal. I got questions. I hit them with questions. We just see what they know or think or do. And then we switch gears at some point, and they ask me questions. I don't even know what's coming. So we'll just wait and see how that goes. But here's the first question. I'm going to go with a Disney version of the news right now. So, All right. Gina Carano, you know what I'm talking about? The former mixed martial arts fighter/actress who was in the show The Mandalorian, I think. What was her character's name? Cara Dune, I think. And she was, you know, kind of rocking that character, going great. She was a fan favorite, but she just wasn't woke enough. And she said some things on her social media that were actually pretty benign, if you get down to it. Like, she was not all in on pronouns. She was not all in on Black Lives Matter. And she was not all in on making people wear masks all the time. And Disney fired her. But then they didn't stop there. They pretty much maligned her. She got blackballed in Hollywood for a while. So here's my question. As of the day before yesterday, she is now suing Disney, and Elon Musk is paying for her lawyers. It's kind of cool. My question for you guys, is the ice finally cracking on some of this, you know, DEI wokeness crap, or is this a one-off situation? I'm going with Lee first. Lee, what do you think?
Well, I think probably both. We've already seen the ice cracking in general with DEI. A lot of the belt tightening that's going on, especially in tech companies, but in a lot of companies right now, they're the first department hit. When you look at something that doesn't contribute to the bottom line, yeah, you're open for being slashed. So I think that's already starting to happen. I think the pendulum's swinging back a bit on that. But for her in particular, I think it's very important to attack Disney. They're kind of the, you know, 800-pound gorilla or whatever. And to have Elon Musk with endless bank account, just literally endless, I bet her attorneys are just, you know, bathing in dollar bills and throwing them up in the air, you know, or $20, $100 bills, who knows, whatever. I'm just saying, don't you know they're the happiest law firm on the face of the earth?
I mean, I'm just wondering, are they hiring out?
Exactly. You're like, let me put my name in. So I'm just saying, with her, I think it's very important, especially for others in Hollywood who dare not speak out, but are known to be, you know, conservative. It's an important fight because then others maybe can step out of the shadows. I mean, there's a few. Kelsey Grammer is one of them. But you have to get really big before you can say something at all. And even then, you can get skewered. So I think it's an important fight, and it's important to take it to Disney specifically because they're like the head of the beast. But I think it's already starting to swing anyway.
Okay. The Butters. So your thoughts, one off, or is it really the ice cracking?
I guess for this case, it'll be interesting to see what is the reaction from people. Do people get mad at her, you know, and at Musk for going after Disney? I think it's definitely. So I guess the simple answer would be it is part of a wave of pushing back, which is good. You know, like Lee said, it's nice that Musk has the endless resources, but also he brings just the clout and the platforms. I mean, particularly Twitter. And it's kind of good. I think I'm assuming this is probably more of Musk's campaign against, you know, squashing free speech and all of that kind of stuff. So it's interesting that he's picked this battle to fight. But I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
You know, I read her extended tweet. She wrote like a really, really long tweet about it. And I actually referenced it yesterday in my monologue. But she wrote this really long tweet in which she described herself as being among many others that Musk is also funding. So basically, it sounds like he's hired law firms or a law firm, and they're just like going to say, okay, we're suing you, we're suing you, we're suing you, we're suing you. And granted, you can't file frivolous lawsuits, so they had to assess them all. In fact, they apparently assessed hers for several months before they filed the suit. So are you saying, Butters, and I'll jump on this and then we'll go, are you saying you think the jury's out on whether there should ever be a jury on something like this? Or are you saying that you're just going to, the public's going to have different views?
I think it seems like this is a warranted action, you know, and it's, I don't know that she would have gotten very, you know, the finances aside, I don't know that she's got enough clout to go at this alone, but the backing of Musk. You know, I know she's off doing like Daily Wire stuff, I think, which is good to see. But the interesting thing will be, because there's plenty of people that are very mixed on a love of Disney and, so it'll be interesting to see which way people kind of swing on that. You know, I don't think it's a frivolous lawsuit or anything like that. And I'm glad to see that they're pushing back.
Okay. Any final thoughts on that there, Lee?
Yeah, they need to rethink any love of Disney. Disney is literally an antichrist. I said it.
Shit. That's it. That's the tweet. She said it. Okay. All right. Hey, listen, we're gonna go to the next question there if we run out of time. So I'm going to get in politics here for a minute. So Ronald McDaniel, I like to say we've had a Mick problem in the Republican Party. we've had a Ronald McDaniel problem at the RNC. We've had a Mitch McConnell problem at the Senate. And for a while there, we had a McCarthy problem in the House. So the Mick problems were just slinging everywhere like a bad batch of fries at McDonald's. So Ronald McDaniel has announced, or it has been announced, that she is stepping down from leadership at the RNC. She tried to caveat that yesterday, but pretty much the posture is that she's expected to step down by the end of this month, right after the South Carolina primaries. Here's my question for you. I mean, McConnell's like clinging to his leadership post with a craggy old fingers, right? You can't drag him away from the Senate Majority Leader. What's it going to take, though, for the GOP to get new leadership that is more in tune with the base? Your thoughts. Butters, you first.
What caused the Tea Party movement? You know, like that's what caused that push? You know, I think we're definitely at more extremes. It is odd that we are in the situations that we're in, and it's not happening organically like it seemed to. What's it going to take? I go back to all this, the drum I've always beat. It's local. It's going to be somebody from, say, Moms for Liberty that breaks out beyond just the library stuff and goes, this is something I'm passionate about, and has a natural organic following. You know, how long will that take to get to the national level that you're referring to? You know, I don't know. But I think that's kind of the question that comes to my mind. What happened? What caused the Tea Party?
So you're saying grassroots. Grassroots got to get really, really bossy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's silly to think that anybody that's been in politics for a while up there that's funded by all the same people that they're going to fix anything on their own, you know?
All right, Lee, what's it going to take to get new grassroots-based leadership into Republicans at the big level?
A big, you know, a long arm that slaps every one of them across the face? I'm not sure. I mean, at what point do they wake the heck up and understand that the status quo doesn't work? I might remind everyone who doesn't know this that Ronna's maiden name is Romney. She is Mitt Romney's niece.
Yep.
She is connected like the mob up in there. This is on Trump. He made a mistake appointing her. I wouldn't have appointed Mitt Romney's you know, lawn mowing guy to something, because anything that is adjacent to any of these rhinos is a no-go. And I laugh at everybody writing online like, oh, she's been such a defender of him. Uh-huh. Yeah. More like a fox in a hen house, I think. Well, but she bankrupted practically the RNC. They have no money.
Yeah.
They can't fundraise. No one likes her. So here's my suggestion. You know who I think you should appoint? Someone should appoint or something? Is not this Harmeet Dhillon person. Put Vivek Ramaswamy in there.
I could see Vivek do it. Vivek has a dynamic personality. He'd be out shaking hands and making waves. And I think that I don't know where Vivek's going to go in terms of national politics, but you make a good point. That would definitely keep his profile high. But I think we could take heart in the fact that we got somebody who's a retail politician out there doing the thing. I don't like Vivek on foreign policy, but at the same time, he can't do foreign policy as the RNC chairman. That's not a bad idea.
How would he ever get the Never Trumpers to stop being silly? He just doesn't seem like the guy to make that happen.
Here's the thing: once the Never Trumpers, once Trump gets reelected. Mm-hmm. He can only serve one more term. The Never Trumpers are insignificant at that point.
Yep.
They are non-issues. They are flies merely circling around your head like gnats, but they're really not capable of doing anything at that point, I hope. But all right.
So you can only serve two terms? It doesn't matter if they're split up between years. You can only serve two terms?
It's two terms, and I don't think it's required. You know what? I can double check on that, but I don't think it's required that they be consecutive. It's two terms, period. Now that changed after World War II, I believe, but I'll go back and look at it during the break. Yeah, exactly. Three-termer, FDR. And then, we had earlier in the century, Teddy Roosevelt tried to come back and run for a third term under the Bull Moose Party because he couldn't get the Republican nomination. And he was the spoiler, by the way. All right. Well, listen, that's round one. By the way, remind me to tell you guys later about my McConnell/Tea Party story, firsthand experience. We'll take a break right now. We're with Butters and Lee. We're going to come right back, and we switch gears. They ask me questions, and I just wait and see how it goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
We have, well, you know, there's just not that much going on in the world to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So, Russia, Tucker Carlson.
Russia. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I hear a lot of debate about whether he should be going, whether it's treason. And quite honestly, I'm flabbergasted. It's one thing for people to talk about this, but other journalists. When did journalism get to a point where other journalists aren't chomping at the bit to do an interview with world leaders?
Yeah.
Like, when, where did we get to the point that I just would have thought that, hey, if somebody could have landed an interview with Hitler during, you know, the heart of World War II, some journalist in the interest of journalism would have wanted to do that. What's happening?
Yeah. So I got a lot of thoughts on this. The question's being asked by so many, why would he do that interview? And my question is, why would he not? So, if we're going to be honest about journalism, then it means you're going to go to the hard places and ask the hard questions. That's why we have wartime correspondents. That's why we have battlefield correspondents, because they're going to go get the truth where the truth is. Now, I am really not for a fawning interview of a despot like Putin, right? So what I hate to see is a liberal member of the media who's already pro-socialism going over there and going, now, Mr. Putin, can we just ask you some questions about, like, the paint on your walls and why you eat eggs for breakfast? I mean, I don't want to see that. So I haven't seen it. It's airing tonight, apparently. But I want to watch it. I'm of the mind that this was an interview that if you got the opportunity, you better take it. And you're right. I think that if somebody had had the opportunity to interview Adolf Hitler, they should have taken it. It doesn't mean they have to like him. They're not giving in to his views. They're not giving him a platform that he does not deserve. But if the Ayatollahs wanted to be interviewed right now, I'd say send somebody over. So, yeah, a lot of, I mean, we're going to see how it all goes. But I suspect that since I trust Tucker far more than I trust most of the mainstream media, maybe all the mainstream media. Okay, I trust Tucker about as much as I trust me in terms of being having an opinion. And I don't even agree with him all the time. We don't agree on foreign policy. He's an isolationist, and I'm not. But I think he had to do the interview. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, and journalists, you cannot like the interview, even if you go ask about the color of your walls and your eggs and all that kind of stuff. Like, let us, as consumers of that journalism, go, well, that was awful. Like, yeah, I didn't get anything out of that. Like, it blows my mind.
I'd love to see if he presses him too. That's going to be interesting. Did he press him on things like, you invaded Ukraine? Why is the world supposed to sit still for that? You know, I hope he does press him on that.
I hope so. As much as you'd want to,
he will.
Yeah, I suspect he will. All right. Well, Lee, there's the Butters question. What you got for me?
I've been noticing a culture of offense.
Not just
the United States, but worldwide.
All right.
And the culture of offense. Like, people are offended by everything.
Yeah.
And I've especially noticed how the church has been handling this. And I want to ask you if you've noticed it, what you would do about it. But I have noticed from the pulpit, we are not, it's as if they're afraid to offend anyone. And they, pastors aren't really standing on principle. They aren't standing on specific parts of the gospel as much as I think they should. And I feel as if they're just afraid of offending people. Maybe they're afraid of labels. Maybe they're afraid of losing their 501c tax status.
Mm.
But I just feel like that it's a culture of offense right now. And it's how do you think it's offending membership too, which is down since COVID?
Yeah. So, all right. We got Big Rig, about a minute. All right. With about a minute left, Lee, let me, and by the way, in case we start getting cut off, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we love you. We'll see you next week. But,
of course.
So do I think that the pulpit needs to be political? No, I don't want to see a pastor go vote for this person. But what I do believe any pastor has not just the right, but the responsibility to do is to say, you need to understand where you stand on biblical principles when you vote, and not say you need to vote for this thing or this person, but do point out that Scripture is clear about, you know, issues of homosexuality or issues of fiscal irresponsibility or where Scripture stands on, you know, faithfulness and truthfulness and all of it, and encourage people to vote their faith, which is certainly okay. And then when it comes to things like, you know, rioting in the streets, there should be no church that is afraid to say that is absolutely wrong. And we respond to it by saying to them from the pulpit that it's wrong. And then when you have, you know, people being harmed by criminals and there's nobody prosecuting it, I don't see anything wrong with a pastor saying we need crime to be enforced in our cities and we need to honor our first responders who go to the crime scenes for us. So, Lee, did I ask your question?
I think you did.
All right. And like I said before, we love you and we'll see you next week, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Butters and Lee. You guys stay tuned. It's Adventures in Woke World coming up.